I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is April 8th, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Okay, let's begin. Here is an email reply from Robert T. Lee regarding the Ten Commandments. He wrote, "The Ten Commandments were written on two tablets of stone by the finger of God on two different occasions. Moses shattered the first two when he returned from his meeting with God and found the Hebrew worshiping a golden calf. He did so to symbolize that the Hebrews were violating their covenant with God and had violated all of the commandments through their idolatry. God commanded Moses to cut out a second set, and God rewrote the same Ten Commandments on that second set. Robert, you were doing so well up until that point. Allow me to quote Exodus 34, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tablets of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tablets the words that were in the first tablets, which thou breakest. Robert, God said he would rewrite the Ten Commandments and make them like the first set. You took God at his word and never bothered to read the rest of chapter 34. Robert, you should have taken the 10 minutes. It would have saved you a ton of embarrassment. He said God did not originate a different set of moral laws just because the tablets of stone on which they were first written were shattered. Robert, if you don't see any differences between the first two sets of commandments, then you need to invest in a better vision plan. Except for the first two commandments, they couldn't get any more different. Robert said, How silly and trifling a thought. Well, Robert, I'm sure I do have silly and trifling thoughts. But it's hard to imagine anything more humiliating than being schooled on your own Bible by an atheist. He said, None could think that way but those who do not understand the nature of the Ten Commandments, and as they are suited to the nature of humanity. Robert, which Ten Commandments? By now you should have read the second set and realized that you are sinking fast in the deep end of the pool. He said, None could think that way but those who do not understand mankind's responsibilities to God and to their fellow man. Robert, I'll agree we have responsibilities to our fellow man, but you people have yet to prove that your invisible ghost exists. If and when you do, then we can discuss responsibilities. He said, The Ten Commandments are spiritual and everlasting laws. And God did not change them after the tablets on which they were originally written were shattered. Robert, if the Ten Commandments are everlasting, why do we only have copies of them? Hammurabi got his stone tablets from his gods 500 years before Moses did. Yet those commandments are still on display at the Louvre in Paris. It seems his gods were far more concerned about preserving their laws than was your God. Robert goes on, God's writing of the Ten Commandments on the first two tablets of stone were not the origin of the Ten Commandments. That's right, Robert. As I just pointed out, God-given laws on stone tablets were around long before the ancient Hebrews stole the idea. Besides, you keep repeating Ten Commandments, yet Exodus records 20, or 18 if you subtract the first two in the second set, since they are similar to the first two in the first set. The reason you keep repeating 10 is because you have no answer for the other 8. He said, Since they are everlasting laws, they existed throughout all eternity, past in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Robert, why would a law against killing exist before there was life? That doesn't make any sense. A law against killing would only become necessary after life was created. Robert said, Their first inception into this world and scene of time was when God wrote them in the heart of the first man, Adam, and when he first created him. Robert, when God wrote them into the hearts of men, how do you know which set he used? And if he wrote them into the hearts of all men, why did he need to give Moses the tablets? And if he wrote them into the hearts of all men, why do two-thirds of today's world population worship other gods? Robert, inquiring minds would like to know. He said, from that time, all humans received their existences with the law of God written in their hearts. Fortunately, Robert, most of the world's population have managed to erase the graffiti. He continues, the covenant which God made with all mankind in the first man, Adam, was the covenant of works. It required him to perfectly obey the Ten Commandments by the power of his natural self. But Robert, God is all-knowing. He knew Adam couldn't resist the fruit. To say otherwise would contradict that God is all-knowing. So why did God set Adam up to take the fall, knowing ahead of time exactly how it was going to turn out? That's entrapment. Robert said, the covenant which God made with the nation of Israel was a reiteration of that covenant. Israel was created by God with the same law that God originally created all mankind under. Unfortunately, Robert, that plan didn't go any better than any of God's other plans. Israel had to be recreated in 1948 after World War II. Robert said, Adam broke that covenant and brought spiritual, corporal, and eternal death upon mankind. Robert, I wonder when your God finally figured out the concept of forgiveness. If he had simply forgiven Adam for disobeying his order, none of that whole Jesus mess would have been necessary, and Jerusalem never would have been invaded by hundreds of zombies. Robert said, the reason God reiterated the same covenant when he created Israel of old was so that the Lord Jesus Christ would be born under the same law under which Adam was created. Robert, you obviously can't reconcile the contradiction of the two different sets of commandments. So you are trying to distract everyone by talking about distantly related ideas. You are now engaging in the red herring logical fallacy. He said, while Adam broke that law and brought damnation upon all mankind, the Lord Jesus perfectly obeyed it and brought eternal life to those who truly believe in him. Robert, why are you so impressed that a God can obey his own commandments? I would be more surprised if he couldn't. Robert said, as additional proof that God did not change the Ten Commandments, notice what Christ stated in Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. By the way, Robert, one thing I've noticed about Christian apologists is that they never expect people to actually verify the verses they quote. Unfortunately for you, I'm one who does. Here is Matthew 22:39 from Jesus himself. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Robert, I couldn't find that one in either set. So now we have 21. Robert said, the first four of the Ten Commandments require us to love God. Robert, that is only true in the first set. The reason you avoid mentioning anything in the permanent set of the Ten Commandments is because they are an embarrassing humiliation to your faith. They expose you to the ridicule you deserve for perpetuating dishonesty. That's why you never see them posted anywhere in America. But to quote your God in Exodus 34, verses 27 through 28, after giving the second set of commandments, and the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Robert, he wasn't talking about the first set. He was talking about the permanent set. the one you avoid like the plague. Now Robert writes, the latter six require us to love our fellow man. Robert, you really need to force yourself to at least skim over Exodus 34. I think you'll find that the permanent set of commandments is nothing like what you are describing. He continues, thus the Ten Commandments are summarized in two commandments, love to God and love to our fellow man, hence the two tablets of stone on which they were written. Now, Robert, if you could only prove they ever existed, you could at least shove your foot in the other door. At least then you would have as much evidence for your God as Hammurabi did for his. But you don't. So your whole defense consisted of ignoring the obvious embarrassing discrepancies between the two sets of commandments and instead trying to focus everyone's attention on an imaginary set of commandments carved into Adam's heart? Robert, some friendly advice. I've seen a lot of sincere people attempt to defend their religious beliefs, but if that is the best you can do, you would be doing your God a big favor by turning your attention to less demanding areas, like acupuncture or Bigfoot, and leave Christian apologetics to people who have at least minimal knowledge of their own Bibles, rather than to continue embarrassing yourself as you just have. And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic, a new procedure repairs severed nerves in minutes, restoring limb use in days or weeks. Scientists used a cellular mechanism similar to that used by many invertebrates to repair damage to nerve axons. If further developed in clinical trials, this approach would be a great advance on current procedures that usually imperfectly restore lost function within months at best. They studied the mechanisms all animal cells use to repair damage to their membranes and focused on invertebrates, which have a superior ability to regenerate nerve axons compared to mammals. An axon is a long extension arising from a nerve cell body that communicates with other nerve cells or with muscles. This research success arises from the discovery that nerve axons of invertebrates, which have been severed from their cell body, do not degenerate within days, as happens with mammals, but can survive for months or even years. The severed proximal nerve axon in invertebrates can also reconnect with its surviving distal nerve axon to produce much quicker and much better restoration of behavior than occurs in mammals. In mammals, the severed distal axonal stump degenerates within 3 days and can take nerve growths from proximal axonal stumps months or years to regenerate and restore use of muscles or sensory areas, often with less accuracy and with much less function being restored. Researchers were able to repair severed sciatic nerves in the upper thigh, with results showing that the rats were able to use their limb within a week and had much function restored within 2 to 4 weeks, in some cases to almost full function. Without this procedure, the return of nearly full function rarely comes close to happening. The sciatic nerve controls all muscle movement of the leg of all mammals, and this new approach to repairing nerve axons could almost certainly be just as successful in humans. To explore the long-term implications and medical uses of this procedure, MDs and other scientist collaborators are conducting studies to obtain approval to begin clinical trials. Researchers believe this procedure could produce a transformational change in the way nerve injuries are repaired. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Mahatma Gandhi, born 1869, died 1948 at the age of 78. He was the preeminent leader of Indian nationalism in British-ruled India. Employing nonviolent civil disobedience, Gandhi led India to independence and inspired movements for nonviolence, civil rights, and freedom across the world. Born and raised in a Hindu community and trained in law at the Inner Temple in London, Gandhi first employed nonviolent civil disobedience as an expatriate lawyer in South Africa in the resident Indian community's struggle for civil rights. After his return to India in 1915, he set about organizing peasants, farmers, and urban laborers to protest excessive land tax and discrimination. Assuming leadership of the Indian National Congress in 1921, Gandhi led nationwide campaigns for easing poverty, expanding women's rights, building religious and ethnic amity, ending untouchability, increased economic self-reliance, but above all, for achieving the independence of India from foreign domination. In his last year, unhappy at the partition of India, Gandhi chose to ignore the widespread celebrations of independence and strove instead to stop the carnage between Hindus and Muslims that had accompanied the partition. He was assassinated by a Hindu nationalist who felt resentful at what he perceived was Gandhi's sympathy for Indian Muslims. And now for the quote from Mahatma Gandhi. "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ."
Are you ready, Greeks? Start walking.